Andre has trouble pooping.
No, I just have loose bowels. I'm joking. My bowels are tight. Tight as fuck, yo.
Be whole loose.
Be whole loose?
Whole? Or is it be whole?
I got several.
I have the be whole.
Is that what you put on your Tinder?
Yeah, I got a bunch of holes.
I got tight bowels.
Yes.
Oh, I have an issue with compaction, and I'd love to meet you.
What?
I have an issue with compaction, and I'd love to meet you.
I got it. I got it. Also, good morning, everyone. I'm sorry that my first conversation was about my bowels.
Okay, Alicia Wiley, a college student from Bridgeport, Connecticut, disappeared under mysterious circumstances in April 2013. She was described as a dedicated student at Eastern Connecticut State University with aspirations of becoming a doctor. And despite her promising future, her sudden disappearance left her family and community in distress. Following her disappearance, extensive search efforts were undertaken by law enforcement agencies, volunteers, and concerned citizens. These efforts included ground searches, flyers, media coverage, and appeals for information to uncover any leads regarding her whereabouts. However, despite these extensive endeavors, no substantial breakthroughs were initially made in the case. In May of 2013, investigators made a grisly discovery linked to Alicia Wiley's case, unraveling a disturbing twist in the investigation. This discovery has potentially shed light on the circumstances surrounding her disappearance, prompting renewed attention and speculation regarding the ongoing investigation. Welcome back, everyone. This is Bro Is a Murder, where we... where we discuss, where we give you true crime cases of color, and sometimes fun. I'm Battle. I'm Battle. That was just the millennial pause that they talk about on TikTok.
The hell of a pregnant pause. I thought something was about to happen.
No.
That pause wasn't even pregnant anymore. That pause gave birth.
that bitch was past due. But yeah, I'm Andre. This is... I don't know who's next to me. It's Robert. Robert's next to me.
I'm Kelly.
Wait, did you just drop K-Money this season? What happened?
I'm K-Money.
and she's knit. What are you knitting?
The artist formerly known as K-Money. I'm making a baby blanket. It's in the art, in the whatever, but the baby blanket that's not even close to being done, and it was for a baby shower that's today.
By today, you mean like in a couple minutes.
You got time.
Multitasking.
Yeah, I'm doing my best.
Yeah, and welcome to the show. And today we're talking. Did you introduce yourself?
No.
I did. Who, me?
Did you?
Yes. I am Plot Twist. I sit in shid.
Shid and
opposed plot. To doing the standing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a bidet?
I do have a bidet. I have a bidet in every bathroom except my toddler's bathroom.
Why? She's too good to have a clean butt?
No, yeah. Because it's like, I don't think she needs one in there. No one uses that bathroom.
Oh, it's like a bathroom.
Yeah, she has her own bathroom. I'll send you a picture. of like you don't have, the bathroom. You don't
have, okay.
Like the bathroom slash shower. It's like,
oh damn, good for her. Yeah, but welcome to today's show. This case is about DV, and I wanted to use this case to also highlight an organization that is ran by a friend of the show, because I'll get into that at the end. Yeah, no, it's a good organization called Hour 3, and they help and support DV victims by giving them needed resources and information to get away. The woman, Danielle, who runs it, is a big fan of the show. I love her down. She's amazing. We talk often. She's very funny. And I bet she's listening. What's up, bitch? Well, hello, Danielle.
We love you.
But yeah, so let's get into it. So Alicia Marie Wiley, also known as Lily, was a 20-year-old sophomore at Eastern State Connecticut University. She was known as a hardworking woman, which showed because she earned a presidential scholarship and enjoyed her college life. She had like friends, clubs, and a boyfriend who she was trying to break up with. She had been dating this boyfriend, Jermaine Richards, since high school. Now, on the day that she went missing, so she sent a series of texts to Sade Burke detailing her desire to end a relationship with Richards, in part of wanting to date other people in college, but mainly because he was abusing her. Her sister told authorities that a month before she went missing, Richard tried to strangle her during an argument. And I just wanted to add in that strangulation, when it comes to domestic violence, is like a stepping stone to more violence and murder. I read one article that's saying a lot of DV perpetrators start with strangulation, and if they can get past that and like get back into your good graces, it escalates.
Well, I also wanted to point out just like real quick, they said that she started dating him in high school. I did the math on their ages. So he was 34 in 2017, which means when she died, she was 20. He was 30. If they started dating 4 years before she passed away, he was fucking 26 and she was 16. I'm just saying.
He was one of them hanging around the high schools.
Yep.
16-year-old and you're fucking 26.
It should be noted that nearly 45% of attempted homicides against women involve non-fatal strangulations, and 97% of victims are strangled manually. Now, I got this from an article from the website Beacon of Hope Crisis Center, and they were also involved in a couple Gabby Potato documentaries. Not the Lifetime one, like actual informative documentaries. They said that through their data, it showed that time and time again that stranglers often escalate and commit murders. And oftentimes those people use weapons like a gun or a knife. There's one line in an article that said even cop killers can typically be traced back to being stranglers before. So it's kind of like an escalation of violence.
Why that is? Like, is it like because it's so personal and violent? And like,
that's what that was my like kind of like a stabbing. Like it's very well, intimate. When I think a strangulation.
About, like, you know, the fights and stuff in high school. I never saw anyone like straight up just like strangle someone.
No, like, people just start throwing punches.
Punches, you know, screaming, crying, pulling hair and shit, but...
Like, the one part where it was like, oh, if you are in a relationship and your partner strangles you,
yeah,
that's you. A sign that they're going to keep, it's going to keep happening. Like, if you forgive them and take them back in that sense, or like they talk their way back into your good graces, you just gave them that opening to...
I think it's because, like... Here's the thing, like, when you, like, not, and obviously, of course, it's not like any of this is okay, but there's a difference between, like, if you just hit someone, that's not, like, that's very reactive.
A clear, yeah.
Quick thing, whereas, like, to strangle someone requires a lot more focus and, like...
It's intimate, it's personal, you're in their face. Yeah.
And, like, continuous effort.
Yes.
Like, And probably in a lot of ways more intimidating, too, than just getting, like, hit.
Well, and I mean, it takes a lot more. It takes a lot more to overcome someone to strangle them than it does to hit them.
Yeah, because a hit is a reaction.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, just even to physically overpower someone in that way.
Oh, yeah, because you got to like you're holding them. You're on them. Like you're not just hitting them, stepping back.
On April 20th, Alicia had been texting a friend, discussing wanting to meet up, but never showed, and then she didn't show up to class on Monday. which, given her academic rigor, was clearly a red flag. So,
how do you call it rigor?
What?
Get the fuck out.
Sorry, go ahead.
On April 20th, Alicia had been texting a friend discussing wanting to meet up, but never showed. And then she didn't show up to class on Monday. And given how involved she was with her education, this was a big red flag. So at that point, her friend Sade Burke went to campus security, who engaged local police to begin investigating as a missing person. So that's, you know, 3 to 4 days after her last contact is when they initially started their investigation. So police first began by interviewing campus students and reaching out to the family. It being a university, there was ample video footage that they could pull from of Alicia's last moment seen. Information from the family identified an ex-boyfriend who Alicia had been in contact with the days before her disappearance. While she was still on campus, she could be seen getting into an unknown black car that they did not have associated with the university. So through confirmation with the family, they identified it as Jermaine Richard's car, the ex-boyfriend,
who that grown ass man,
10 years her senior.
Yeah.
So police questioned him regarding his whereabouts, and he confirmed that he was with Alicia that day and had picked her up. They spent the day at his mother's house before returning to a nearby Dairy Queen just off campus where he dropped her off. So police were able to gain access to his phone records and confirm that story for the most part, that they were in contact, that they, you know, went and visited his mother's house, or at least the area that his mother's house is in, and then that he came back near campus. Interviews on campus also revealed another potential partner that they interviewed. He was identified as having been at work. His alibi also checked out, so he was kind of thrown out as an early suspect. They also began searching the sex offender registry for that area, viewing it as a possible just kidnapping, murder, rape situation, but no leads came from that either. So they kind of circled back to their biggest possible clue, which was Jermaine and his car. They ended up taking his car in for evidence and searching it thoroughly. They didn't find anything, such as, like, you know, tissue or blood that would indicate there was violence inside the car. When they went back to the family, they did, however, get a story from one of the sisters that Jermaine had at one point choked Alicia. And like Andre mentioned earlier, that's a huge indicator of future violence. I found a different article that was from the Albuquerque Sexual Assault Network, or Nurse Examiners, SANE, and they state that a person who is a victim of domestic violence attack of choking or strangulation is more than 750% more likely to be killed by their offender within the next year. So that's like a huge spike in, not only is like maybe this person will escalate very soon. So pointing back to reach out to resources, most likely there's something in your area that works specifically with domestic violence. Not something you want to do quietly or alone. Create a paper trail as soon as you can, even if it's just with, you know, your friends and family, and then any community organizations that may be able to support you through that transition away from a, especially if you live with this person. It's very difficult.
Especially if you have kids too. That's a whole different like hurdle.
It's not worth trying to do it alone. Like, people have lots of reasons that they don't want to make something public, or they don't want to, you know, tell a lot of people. For your own safety, there can be a lot of benefits to doing that. So the police then began retrace Alicia's path using her phone's pings throughout the day off of cell phone towers, which is how they kind of confirmed her path for that day.
So because Richards was the last person seen with Wiley, as well as the information we got from family and friends, not only did police look at her pings, but they also looked at his cell phone tower pings. That led them to searching the woods not far from Richard's home. What was discovered was horrific. They found dismembered body parts in the wooded area within a mile of his home. And they were later confirmed by DNA to be that of the missing college student.
But I forget, didn't they say he was like a nurse too, or like a nursing school?
Yeah, private nurse.
Well, at that point, I mean, he's 30, he's probably out of school.
Hopefully, yeah.
But only partial remains were found, so I think it was like two body parts, like an arm or something. As gruesome as that is, but because of that, no cause of death could be determined. Though it was established that the dismemberment would have been executed with a knife or sharp blade, something a nurse would have the knowledge to do properly. She also had made it clear to friends that she had wanted to end the relationship, which gave him ample motive. Wiley's sister also noted that due to his controlling nature, Richards would often contact Wiley's family repeatedly when he couldn't get a hold of her. She said his silence after her disappearance was very out of character.
So he really just set himself up to get caught. Even though it took, like, what, 4 years? 4 or 5 years?
That is also, like, something associated with abusers of, you know, super controlling of who they communicate with and how often they're in contact. And, you know, your silence is damning here, for sure.
It's, like, got all of the, you know, all the ingredients.
Classic.
Recipe, you know, like, he's significantly older than her. He started dating her when she was a fucking child. Controlling, abusive, like every single tick, you know, box.
Check mark down the list, yeah.
Hmm.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is, like, if he's been abusive and controlling in all of relationships. Or specifically targets younger women.
Earlier, we talked about how she was texting her friend Sade, and they were going to hang out that night. In those texts, she kind of hinted at that she may have tried to break up with Jermaine that evening. It wasn't super explicit. It was something along the lines of, like, it's done or it's over. And, like, I need a drink. Which, I think, you know, what is, like, a classic escalation for abuser of, like, telling them you're leaving?
They're not going to let you go.
Right.
So now, Wiley's partial remains were discovered in the woods near... Turnbull's Quarry Road, which is a mile and a half away from Richard's home. Now, despite the lack of physical evidence, investigators made an assumption that due to his domestic violence background, he was probably involved. A medical examiner confirmed that her remains were dismembered with a sharp blade, which sent alarm bells out because him being a nurse, knowing the human body, and potentially having access to these sharply baited, you know, objects like a scalpel. It's just things are just lining up that it could be him. So Richards was arrested on May 17th, but the prosecution faced an uphill battle due to the lack of physical evidence. So they shifted focus to his pattern of domestic abuse and his relationship with Wiley. So he was claiming that he was innocent, of course. And with that and the lack of zero concrete physical evidence, it led to two separate hung juries and a third trial with no verdict. But they circled back in September of 2017, a new jury did find Richards guilty, with the motive being jealousy and a rage-fueled killing. Stemming from, obviously, her desire to get out of this abusive relationship. So Richards was sentenced to 60 years in prison without parole in March 2018. So that took 4 years for him to 4 years and three court trials for him to face justice.
Well, and
I think it's all predicated because he was just dismembered the body. Like, it was just hard to piece shit together.
I understand, like, if I was on one of those juries, the lack of physical evidence making me very nervous of, you know, do I have a reasonable doubt about,
yeah,
you know, him committing this crime. But
especially because they just kind of assumed that he was involved, which was a correct assumption, but
right. Well,
it still would give me pause too.
He said he was involved. He's like, yeah, I picked her up. We went to my mother's hometown or whatever. We spent the time there and then came back and I dropped her off at Dairy Queen. We can confirm the first half of that story through cell phone pictures. Yeah. Like, you did. You went out there. And then she didn't come back. And partway on the way back, we find her in the woods.
And you were the last person to see her?
And you didn't say, oh, I dropped her off on the side of the road and there was a sketchy dude walking down her way. You said you brought her back to Dairy Queen. Why did you lie? We know she was with you. Like,
yeah, it seems on paper very, like, again, check mark. Like, you go down a list. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess I can see why And they didn't.
Weight of this is kind of dubious because of the context, but there was a quote from one of his friends that apparently he said something to the effect of that he knew she was talking to her ex-boyfriend, and that, like, something to the effect of, like, she's, like, playing around on me, and she's gonna
pay. So she's toying. You should date someone your own age. I'm sorry. Yeah,
well, the thing is, so that witness is kind of iffy just because they were getting a deal for something else.
Oh.
It's an extra piece of, I don't know.
Context.
So yeah.
I just still can't get past the whole, like, you're dating a 20-year-old, you're upset that she's dating in college. That's what you signed up for. She's 20. Let her go.
Well, you started dating her when she was in high school.
She was a literal teenager.
Yeah.
Which, how did that happen?
Well, yeah, I remember there was one interview where they were talking about that relationship, and that the mother was like, oh, yeah, that's fucked up and wrong, but, like, she's about to go to college. It'll probably be pretty quick. You know, like, a short-lived relationship. They'll break up.
Yeah, but they were, like, for years.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Don't let your teenage daughters date extremely older men. It's just end cap it there. I've seen a couple of those that came through the hospital, and they never turn out well. Like, there's going to be trauma there. Even if they're quote unquote consenting to the relationship, no.
It's simple.
Yeah.
Especially when the older person is a man, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because not only are you older and have more experience, but you're bigger and stronger.
Right.
There's that clear intimidation factor. And also you're looking up to that person because they are older, thinking that they know everything and that what they're saying is, like, gospel. No. Nigga's a creep. Get away from him. So to end cap the episode, again, I do want to shout out the organization ran operated by our friend of the show, Danielle, who is the president of Hour 3. They are a nonprofit organization that works hard to put an end to domestic violence. They offer essential programs, education, counseling, and services to help survivors. The best way, other than going to her podcast and listening to her podcast, My Survivor Voice, which is all about DV, the best way to support the organization is you could donate. Their website accepts secure online donations, or you can volunteer your time or services. They're looking for volunteers to help with a bunch of different tasks, and they're always open to having people come on board. So if you got some free time or a dollar in your pocket, bitch, check out their website.
Where are they based out of again?
So she's based out of Atlanta, but when it comes to the volunteering, they do a lot of online, like, clerical stuff. Nice. They're looking for people to help with also, like, social media stuff, or if you are in the area, they do live events. I also know that it's to the need of help with, like, newsletters and stuff like that too. So you can volunteer from home if you have the free time to go do it. Or just check out her podcast, because she's actually pretty amazing and a very intelligent woman too. I know the last time we were talking, she was looking to buy an apartment complex and turn it into affordable living for women escaping DV. Like, somewhere they can, like, hide out with their kids to... And I was like, that's fucking amazing. I'm over here just having diarrhea in the morning from bottles of water.
Yeah, one of those things is much better than the other. You're right.
This is where my life is at. One of these things is not like the other. But yeah, so that's the end of the episode. Do we have any thoughts or comments or complaints? Battle?
Nope. No, I have no.
Yeah, no one wants to plug anything, Robert?
No.
Not enough cowbell. Love that skit.
Actually, speaking of cowbell, we have an EP coming out, and I think there's one song where we actually use a cowbell. So.
Oh yeah. You always need more cowbell.
Yeah. Depending on when you listen to this, just keep checking. Soon we'll have an EP release. Freddy Versus on Spotify. The EP is all about cryptids. It's really fun.
Bad, why are you beating me? It's bad. I can see the arm moving.
What?
See? But yeah, that's the episode. Stick around for the music. Check out the show notes for the links to Hour 3. Yeah, that's it. I think. Yeah. Yeah. I don't got anything else to say. Kisses from the homies. Battle and Joel, your. Oh no! What I was gonna say. I had a joke. I forget it. Get out of here. Good battle. Stick around. I need to berate you.
What?
I need to berate you.
Where I'm at. If they wanna feature